Good morning, everyone. Before we start, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being the sovereign God that you are, Lord, and we just thank you for creating a beautiful fall day that we all can enjoy, and we know that you've created it, and you are the creator of all things, Lord, and we just, through this message this morning, we just want to bring honor and glory to you through Psalms 21. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, as Jerry said, John's away visiting Jake in Annapolis at the Air Force Academy, and so I consider it an honor to be up here today. It's good that John's visiting his son. It's a blessing for him and for Jake and Denise to be with their son. It's a good thing that he's there. But I just want to say that coming up here and delivering God's word is a stretch for me. It's definitely a stretch. It's out of my comfort zone. In fact, it's not even in the same zip code. So I know it sounds funny, but I feel more comfortable doing a root canal or taking out a wisdom tooth than doing this. But in the realms of eternity, this has much more responsibility than doing a root canal or taking somebody's wisdom tooth out. So, having said that, I just want to say that God is sovereign, and He will give me the confidence and the words to deliver His word this morning with clarity. And I just want to give Him the honor and praise through His word here this morning. So last year, when I spoke on the sovereignty of God, and I used for my text Psalm 115:3. And this really dovetails with Psalm 121, which we're going to get to in a little bit. But what I thought I'd do is just review the sovereignty of God briefly and then go into Psalm 121. Let me just read that text real briefly here. Psalm 115:3 on the sovereignty of God. It says, "But God is in the heavens. He does whatever He pleases." So we see by this text that God is ultimately in charge of the universe. This is God's universe. It's all His. He does not belong, this universe that He created, it does not belong to a God called chance or luck. There is no such thing as chance or luck. It also doesn't belong to man either. Man has been appointed only as a caretaker of part of the universe. God is a God of order. Definitely He's a God of order, not of chance or chaos. In Colossians 1:16, Paul says this, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him." The psalmist says in Psalm 103:19, "The Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all." So God's sovereignty comes in three things. It's unequaled, it's unrivaled, and it's unopposed. So God's sovereignty has those three factors in it. And then A.W. Pink commented, "God does as He pleases, only as He pleases, always as He pleases." We also mentioned last year that God has supreme power and authority over all leaders, and that comes at a time when we're going to be voting here for our next leader of this country. And in Proverbs, Solomon says this, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, He turns it wherever He wishes." And how comforting is that in this time in our history? I think a lot of people have problem with accepting the fact and this truth because they want to be sovereign. They want to be controlled over lives, and they know they're not. I used to be in that position. I used to think that I wanted to be in control of everything. I wanted to be sovereign. I wanted to control what I did, who I was with, how much money I made. But once I once I realized I'm not and God is, it gave me freedom and it gave me peace. Amen. And that's something MasterCard can't buy. Right? That's right. It is priceless. So in the end, the sovereignty of God is rooted in his godness. Here is the truth. God is king. He was king when he was alone. And he is still king of whatever exists. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. So once again, going back to Psalm 115:3, our God is in the heavens and he does whatever he pleases. So two things we can take out of this. Number one, God always wins. And he always wins for his glory and our benefit. Amen. How comforting is that? He always wins for his glory and our benefit. So, let's look at the question then. How does this truth, that God is sovereign and does as he pleases, relate to or connect with your life on a day-to-day basis? I mean, that's a big question. We look at God and we say, yeah, God's sovereign, but we all got to go to work tomorrow, most of us. We all have problems in our life. So how do we look at this? The answer is we need to know and understand that God, who is sovereign, is our protection. He's our protection also. He protects you in your life, day to day, and throughout your life. So let's look at the Old Testament in Psalm 121 to see where the psalmist puts his trust in his protection. So as you're turning to Psalm 121, I just thought I'd give a real quick background here on this psalm. This psalm was sung as worshipers made their journey from wherever they were to Jerusalem. And they had to travel through valleys and over mountain passes. And, you know, obviously they didn't have paved roads then. They didn't have rest areas. They didn't have loaf and jugs to stop and refresh themselves. And it was dangerous. There was a lot of, you know, we have road rage now, but they had other issues back then. So they would sing this psalm as they went from wherever they were to Jerusalem to worship, probably three times a year. So this is something that they'd had to do quite a bit. They had to make an upward ascent. So wherever they were from, they had to travel up to Jerusalem, to the temple to worship. And so that's where the, I'm sure in your Bibles here, it is a song of ascents, and that's the reason why that was named the Song of Ascents. So when we look at this psalm, Psalm 121, Song of Ascents, let's look at it as a metaphor for life, because we're all on a journey called life, and we all have to go through difficulties in our life, and we all want protection. So when we look at this psalm here, let's look at it from that aspect. So the question becomes, where does our safety come from? Does it come from the police? Does it come from a strong national defense? So let's look at Psalm 121 and see that our Heavenly Father is serious about protecting us in four areas. So what I thought I'd do is I'd read the psalm here before we go into those four areas. Verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve you going out and coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. This is a great psalm. So the first area that he protects us is in God is our source of help and strength, verses 1 and 2. God is our source of help and strength in verse 1 and 2. So when we look at verse 1 and 2, we need to look at the question here that the psalmist puts out there for us. He says, I will lift my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help? From whence comes my help is the question here. Here's a man on a journey. And he's looking from side to side as he goes through the path to Jerusalem. And he's looking up at the hills. And he's looking for a source of help to get him out of trouble or fear that he encounters along the way. This statement of trust is made as he journeyed upward in elevation to Jerusalem. But let's ponder his question here. Where does your help come from? And I know the world out there is always looking for help. They're always trying to find the answer to this. I think many people look to the world. They look for alcohol. They look for drugs. They look for relationships, medication. I mean, if you go to the bookstore anymore, Barnes & Noble, there's all these books on self-help. People are always looking for answers. You know, where am I going to get my help? They go to therapists. They look for materialism, anything to fill that gap to they feel secure in, that they get their protection. So the world is looking for answers everywhere. Everywhere but the right area. So in verse 2, here's the question, and it's pretty emphatic here. My help comes from the Lord. That's the answer. My help comes from the Lord. So the psalmist here is saying that he's not looking for help anywhere else. He's not looking for drugs. He's not looking for alcohol. He's not looking for an army. He's not looking for a gun or a particular friend or a group of people. He says right here, my help comes from the Lord. And then he goes on and says, who made heaven and earth? Who made heaven and earth? So he defines who the Lord is here. He's defining, number one, where his help comes from, and number two, who made heaven and earth. He's the maker of the mountains that he's looking at. He's the maker of the mountains that he's looking at. Only God has the sovereign power to make the heavens and the earth. So he's getting double whammy here. He knows who his help's coming from, and he knows who made the heavens and the earth as he goes on his journey here. So we need, as personally, we need to confess our trust in God to help us on our journey in this life. Number two, the second area, in verses 3 and 4. God is our support and keeps us from falling. God is our support and keeps us from falling. He will not allow your foot to slip. He will not allow your foot to slip. Here the psalmist teaches that our God will keep us faithful and on the right path in our journey called life here. He won't allow us to be distracted by the world, by our minds, or by Satan. He can do this because our God is a full-time God. He's not a part-time God. Amen. Our God is a full-time God. Jude 24 says that our Lord is able to keep you from falling. Those whom God saves, he also sustains. He then says in verse 3 here, he who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps you will not slumber. So God demonstrates to us that as our guardian, that we may rest assured at night. We have this confidence in his sovereignty that he will protect us on our journey in life. And that he will protect us day and night. Always. Verse 4, the psalmist goes on and says, behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So as true believers, we need to be aware that God, through his sovereign protection, will be a guardian of his church. Although we might sleep at night, we need not be afraid of any harm coming on us, because the Lord will neither slumber nor sleep. God is at all times awake, he's always alert, and he's always continually focused on the needs of his people. And this is a great story. I'm sure everybody knows the story probably better than I do, but this is a contrast of what the psalmist is saying here. And with Elijah, remember the story of Elijah? And he's out with the prophets of Baal, and they got their their two offerings going here. And Elijah's over here, and he's looking at these 450 priests, I believe, running around trying to get their sacrifice, their god, small g, to come down and light the offering on fire. And I believe, I can't remember anywhere else in the Old Testament we have a prophet that talks a little smack here. So Elijah's over and he's looking at these 450 prophets running around, and this is what he says to him, and it's kind of funny. 1 Kings 18:27. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry along, for he is a god, small g. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping. And he must be awakened." So this is in contrast with what the psalmist says here. Our God never sleeps or slumbers. He's always with us. Third area. Verses 5 and 6. God is our protector. God is our protector. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. God is our keeper. What does he keep us from? He keeps us from tough circumstances that we go through in life. He's our right hand, which means he is always close by. He provides shade for us. He always provides comfort and relief to believers in the midst of this dark and evil world in which we live. What a great promise that is. Amen. Verse 6. The psalmist says, "The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." I think the psalmist here is saying that God always protects us from the heat and the sun of the day and the cold of night. God's protection is always continuous and constant. What a great promise this is. It's always continuous and constant, day and night, and night and day. Which leads us to the fourth and final area. God is my Savior. Verses 7 and 8. God is my Savior. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. He shall preserve your soul. In verse 7. So does the psalmist say that you're never going to see evil in your life? No, he doesn't. Is he saying no evil person can ever hurt you? No. And who a better example is Christ? Did evil men hurt Christ? Yes, they did. Did evil men kill Christ? Yes, they did. So what is he saying here? He shall preserve your soul. If God is your keeper and you are a believer, there is no evil person or thing that can destroy your soul or separate you from God. And I just want to turn over to John 11:25-26, and this is Jesus talking here to, I believe, Martha. John 11:25-26. Christ is speaking. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he asked, "Do you believe this?" And then she said, yes, she did. What a great promise. No evil person can take your soul. He can kill you in the flesh, but he can't kill your soul. And then in verse 8, he goes on and said, the Lord shall preserve you going out and coming in from this time forth and even forever. So when we look at this verse, what do we see here? We have a great promise from God. We have a great promise from God that he will protect and preserve us in all our ways. The psalmist testifies here that God is a deliverer in all we have in this life. What a great promise that is, that he's going to preserve us. So, what can we gather from this great psalm, Psalm 121? I think there's three applications we could take away from it. Three applications, and I got most of the ideas from Steve Lawson. He came up with three applications that I couldn't beat. So I got to give him credit here where credit's due. So number one, we need to look. We need to look. We need to look exclusively to the Lord. This is precisely what the psalmist did. As he said, I lift my eyes to the hills. He was looking only to God and God only, the maker of heaven and earth, from where his help would come. So we, as believers, by looking to God, we look away from ourselves. And that's tough sometimes. We need to look away from ourselves and from the world for strength. And I think that's one of the hardest applications to do, is to look away from oneself and from the world. Keep on blinders. Faith looks to God, not to man. Faith looks to God, not to man. So the first one is look. The second one is listen. First one is look. This is listen. Number two, listen. Listen attentively to the Lord, to God's word. It's an all-sufficient source of divine grace for believers on life's journey that we're all on. So we need to listen to his word. God's word is an unlimited reservoir of undeniable spiritual energy for all who receive his truth. So only by looking into scripture can we truly look to the Lord who has spoken to us in his word or in the Bible, scripture. If we are to know God's strength, we must hear and heed his word. And that's a challenge too. We must hear his word and we must heed his word. So that's number two, listen. Number three, lean. Lean. Lean wholly upon the Lord. We must rely solely upon the superabundant grace of God's Spirit in every demand of life. When we trust in ourselves, we are only feeble, very feeble. But in looking to God, we find great strength. So let us lean to cast our burdens upon him and lean upon him because he is sovereign. So, therefore, in conclusion here, everyone enters on this journey called life. And we know two things on this journey, and I'm getting to know them real fast here because I'm getting old. Number one, James 4:14 says, life's a vapor. My vapor's starting to go away pretty quick here. Also, 1 Peter 2:11 says we're pilgrims or we're sojourners on this journey. We're just tentatively here. We're going to pass on to something better. But we need extraordinary strength to remain true to God. We can only get this strength from God. Amen. We need his strength because the Christian life is an uphill battle, and I think everybody would agree with that. And in this battle, this journey is an ascent to higher ground called heaven. And that's where we're going. Remember that we overcome all that controls us in this life through God's power. And let me just say one thing. Charles Spurgeon, I got a quote here from Charles Spurgeon. There is no telling how much power God can put into a man. I'll just repeat that. There is no telling how much power God can put into a man. And let me just say that through my life, I can testify that you never, ever underestimate the power of God. Never. Because he is all-powerful and he is sovereign. So let me just close in prayer here. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being the sovereign God that you are, Lord. And please narrow our focus upon you. By your Spirit, work within us, so that we might rely solely upon you, because you're sovereign. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our Bible, our mind.